convening at 3 o'clock. For those of you that have just joined us and haven't been at the hearings over the last hour and a half, when you submit, we ask you, these are movable, you can pick them up, put them very close to your mouth, because everybody at the back of the gallery likes to hear your submission as well. We're timing the submissions. A little ding goes off at 5 minutes and again at 9 minutes. If you choose to speak for your 10 minutes, which is entirely your right, then we don't get time for questions. So that's how you frame your submission. But I just welcome you all, and this is the last piece of the second day of our hearings. So I welcome to the table. Do you want to come together, Hilmer and Michael, or you want to come separate? No, she says, come on, Hilmer. Thank you for coming. And so for councillors, it's submission number 994 on page 100.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Mayor, Steve, and ladies and gentlemen of the council. My name is Hilmer Gill. This has been something of a marathon for all of you. I'll keep it succinct as I possibly can. The first question you asked was, do you support in principle the intention to effectively partner with Te Arawa? My answer to that is no, because I believe the proposal goes well beyond that required by law, and I believe that partners look after each other to the exclusion of all others. Secondly, the Te Arawa interest group is already represented by 25% of the councillors. And thirdly, you have been elected to look after the interests of all people in the Rotorua district. You are accountable to all people equally. If this partnership is adopted, the spokesmen for that minority group of the population, and it's less than 13%, will only be accountable to Te Arawa. They will have input into all decision-making, but have no obligation to the rest of the community. The second question you asked was, what aspects of the Te Arawa partnership model do you agree with? My answer is none, for the same reasons that I have just expressed. That Te Arawa is already represented by 25% of the councillors, and they will have input into all decision-making, but have no obligation to the rest of the community. Then you asked, what aspects of the Te Arawa partnership model do you disagree with? Well, I could go on for half an hour on this, but I won't. Firstly, I do not agree with any aspect of the Te Arawa partnership model, as it goes well beyond that required by law. The law requires that council facilitate Māori participation in council decision-making processes. This does not mean a partnership or voting rights on council committees. The word partnership, and this is from the dictionary, parties agree to cooperate to advance their mutual interests. Mutual interests. That's not facilitation, it's domination and marginalisation of other interest groups. You should not partner up with any single interest group in the community. I'm not talking about fear or race. I'm only talking about maintaining democracy in our council and local government. I do not want unelected people of any single interest group in the district given disproportionate power in the planning and decision-making by council. This violates the rights of other interest groups in the district. And forgetting any legal issues here, there's no moral justification to have unelected people on the standing committees that all councillors are required to attend. I believe that all interest groups within the Rotorua district should have equal input into the planning and decision-making processes, but only the processes. decision-making is not the same as decision-making processes. The difference is not subtle. It's quite clear that the process of decision-making comes before and is separate from the decision itself. I think this needs to be clarified, as I have heard some people in the council saying that there's no difference. So here's a scenario. A group of women are deciding which cafe to go to. They're outside the Lotus. One has sore feet and wants to stop. They discuss the pros and cons of Lotus versus Robert Harris. As I said, one has sore feet and wants to stop. Another likes the food there. A third likes the coffee at Robert Harris better. And fourth prefers Robert Harris food. After further discussion on the two, they make a decision to carry on to Robert Harris. So there you have it. First the discussion, then the decision. Discussion is the process. Decision is the outcome of the process. You asked if there was an option that I would prefer. My answer is yes. A democratic governance model. I would like to see a Maori advisory board, a community policy advisory board, along with individuals, expert officials and interest groups to advise, and the elected councillors who alone will make decisions in the matters of all the people of Rotorua, with no bias towards the so-called partner. In summing up, I would like to make a couple of points clear. Firstly, the New Zealand census showed that 39% of Maori in our district affiliate with Te Aroha, while the other 61% of Maori do not. That's only a little over one-third of the Maori population in Rotorua, and only 13% of Rotorua's total population. In fact, I think it's less than 13%. Therefore, I cannot support the Te Aroha Partnership Plan in either option 2 or 3, as neither is democratic. Both give disproportionate power to one small interest group, to the exclusion of other interest groups in the district. Secondly, any interest group should have the right to give advice to councillors when an issue requires its expertise, and this must apply to all equally. No one group can have the right to sit at all committee meetings to influence the decision-making process of all issues, regardless of its interest in those issues. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Mrs. Gill, we do have time for questions. Oh. If okay. There is anybody who wishes to... Councillor Gould.
Madam Chair, clarification, please. Your New Zealand census figures, did you get them from the census of last year?
Yes, well, the most recent census, yes.
No further questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Michael, would you like to come to the table? So next is submission 995 on page 101. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Madam Mayor and ladies and gentlemen of the council. My name is Michael Gill. I'm reading from my feedback form for my submission. Question one was, do you support in principle the intention to effectively partner with Te Aroha? My answer is no. Please give your reasoning to the question above. A1, the New Zealand census showed that 39% of Maori in our district affiliate with Te Aroha, while the other 61% of Maori do not. That is only a little over one-third of the Maori population in Rotorua and only about 13% of Rotorua's population. Therefore, I do not support the Te Aroha Partnership Plan in either option 2 or 3, as neither is democratic. Both give disproportionate power to one self-interest group to the exclusion of all other interest groups in the district. No other group in Rotorua, Maori or otherwise, gets this special privilege. Number two, there is no accountability by this unelected group to the rest of the people in Rotorua, violating their rights. Allowing unelected people to help make decisions that affect the lives of other people is totally undemocratic. Number three, the law requires that council facilitate Maori participation in council decision-making processes. This does not mean a partnership or voting rights on council standing committees. The word partnership means the parties agree to cooperate to advance their mutual interests. This is not facilitation, it is domination and marginalisation of other interest groups. What aspects of the Te Ara partnership model do you agree with and why? None. What aspects of the proposal Te Ara partnership model do you disagree with and why? By even contemplating acceptance of the presentation of Te Ara's proposal to the Rotorua District Council, the Mayor clearly implied, backed up by the majority of the councillors, that Te Ara is an inferior group of people requiring special privileges in order to survive in today's society. I'll speak this again for your benefit so that you heard what I said. By even contemplating acceptance of the presentation of Te Ara's proposal to Rotorua District Council, your worship clearly implied, backed up by the majority of the councillors, four there, I'll name them if you want me to, that Te Ara is an inferior group of people requiring special privileges in order to survive in today's society. That is not my belief, nor any of my friends, and it is morally wrong to make any group in our community feel inadequate. I will stand against any version of the proposal to prevent this from happening. What aspects of the Te Ara partnership model do you disagree with and why? One, I do not agree with the aspect of the Te Ara partnership model as it goes well beyond what is required by law. Number two, the council should not partner up with any single interest group in the community. Number three, decision-making is not the same as decision-making processes. The difference is not subtle. It is quite clear that the process of decision-making comes before and is separated from the decision itself. Number four, I believe that all interest groups within the Rotorua District should have equal input into the planning and decision-making processes, but only the processes. Is there another option or arrangement that you would prefer and why? Answer, yes. The democratic governance model. I want a Maori Policy Advisory Board and Community Policy Advisory Board, individuals and interest groups, and expert officials to advise elected councillors who alone will make decisions in the public interest. Do you have any further comments? Answer, one, in the more recent times, we are being fed a diet of council propaganda telling us that our local economy is developing. They are repeating silly research at our expense into perceptions of the future economy. Two, now I hear the council's budget is out of control and it has been adding to our mountain of debt. $168 million, according to Thomas Colley, RDC. The Te Ara Partnership Plan will only increase the debt. The proposal, if accepted, will cost Rotorua's debt-burdened ratepayers about $1 million a year for a parallel governance and administrative structure. Number three, we also need to get this council off its addiction to spin, back to reality, back to its core business, and back into real debt reduction. Thank you for listening.
Do we have any questions? Councillor Hunt.
thank you, Michael. I just wonder, where in legislation it uses the word special interest group for iwi, because under the Treaty of Waitangi, iwi are regarded as partners, and under the Local Government Act, as has been quoted, we must work with those partners. Other special interest groups you suggest, I can't see anywhere in legislation that that affords them the same level of integration and partnership that you're lumping them all together. So please, can you explain why you would lump those together?
There are many interest groups, small organisations, community organisations, that should be have as much input as Te Arawa.
Thank you, Mr. Gill. look, I just want to ask you about one statement in your submission, and that is where you refer to Te Arawa as a self-interest group, which a number of Te Arawa submitters have found quite an offensive label. What makes you say they are a self-interest group? Emphasis on the word self.
You're isolating them away from all the other Maori groups in Rotorua.
That's a view.
I also want to refer to a part in both your submissions where you state, I do not agree with any aspect of the Te Arawa partnership model as it goes well beyond what is required by law. So does it go beyond Section 31 of the Local Government Act, which says the council may appoint the members of a committee or subcommittee may, but need not be elected members of the authority? So which law are you referring to that we have broken in the proposal? I'm not saying the proposal is going to go through, but you state that it's against the law of what we're doing.
No, I'd rather not answer that.
Time is up, actually, Councillor Gould. Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. If submitters wish to read their submission, that does take the time up, and then we can't ask the questions. But moving on to Kath Whitney. Kath, the previous submitter's not here yet, so are you flexible enough to come to the table? Thank you. So for councillors, it's submission 1028, page 110.
My name is Kath Whitney. I am a descendant of Ohinemutu. I have no Maori blood, but I have Maori siblings. My father married twice. My great-grandfather and grandmother came here in the 1800s, and they lived in Ohinemutu because there was no Rotorua. Rotohiko Haupapa gifted a huge tract of land to the government to form the town of Rotorua. This town, for many, many years, was a government town. Its first committee of government was selected by the government of the day. We became a city. But in this city, our Maori people need to be honoured for the gift that Rotohiko has given. What I ask is fairness, thought, and dignity to the Taonga that cannot at this stage be returned to its people. Maori custom says when a Taonga has done its use, it must be returned to the source of the gifter. There are many things in Rotorua, and I'm not giving timelines. I'm just asking for fairness, to honour the people, to honour what they have to say. There are many people in Rotorua that do not understand the history and the beginnings of Rotorua. It was not an ordinary town that just grew because there was something in the area. It grew from Ohinemutu, that was the original tourist hub. My great-grandfather came here, and my grandfather was actually the instigator. He was Ted Robertson, the coachman. I'm proud of what my family has done, but I do say this. They honoured and loved the Maori people, and so do I. Please be fair.
Thank you, Kath. Do we have any questions, Councillor Sturt?
Thank you very much, Kathleen. You've made your submission with total passion. Has it saddened you with the process and what's come out in the media and that appears to be tearing our community apart?
Yes, it has, because we were a friendly, united town. We went to school together. We cared for each other. I lived at the Gables for a number of years. My Maori friends came over the hospital hill to school with me. They also picked up my pieces when my family fell apart. I thank them. And this is why I am here today. It is the only thing I can do to say thank you to the Maori people of Rotorua who do help where they can.
Kath, is there a model that you feel comfortable with?
I feel comfortable with the model that would give Te Arawa or any other interest group a chance to be in the formation process of what the council is trying to do, not necessarily to vote, but to be able to give submission and bring forward points that council may have put aside or haven't picked up.
Thank you. And thank you for your submission.
Thank you.
And I understand Pat Fletcher has... Is he? Hello, Pat. Take your time. We sort of make up a bit of time, then we lose time, but we get there in the end.
Yes, well...
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Just come away from school, so it was a bit of a rush to try and get through
Get your breath, Pat.
So instead of speaking at lib, I've just written it down because I thought my mind's still in other places at the moment. Thank you. I attended pre-election meetings before the present council was elected, and as a ratepayer, I was able, through a democratic process, to vote for the people I felt would support Rotorua in the best possible way. It is disappointing that some councillors, who are in essence the employees of the ratepayers, are trying to push through an agenda of consultation with Maori by way of Proposal 2. The trouble is that Proposal 2 doesn't encompass all Maori, of whom I'm very supportive. And I do dear leaving in a school which is essentially Maori children, whom I love very much. But Te Arawa is only one small section of the Maori community. All community groups have equal value, expertise, knowledge in their own fields and should be acknowledged in their advice to councillors when required. We can only make progress by recognising this. And to continue harping on historical events and happenings without recognising all the other groups that have contributed in the past and in the present is not the way to make Rotorua such a great place to live. Yes, I do acknowledge what Te Arawa have done, But there are so many other issues that people have done. People in technology, people in health, engineers. What would have become of this place if it had been left in the past and no progress had been made through everybody in the community? We all share in what has been accomplished. Advice from all sectors is important, but not through unelected people having undemocratic rights and being paid from our rates. They were not voted on to represent us. I suggest that Te Aroha reflect on why the previous standing committee came adrift through disagreement between the members, and some of them wanting more power than others, and work to re-establishing this organisation in an advisory role when elected councillors are making decisions on ratepayers' behalf. Thank you.
Thank you. And are there questions? Can I just ask a question, because you were very quick and succinct. Your view of the Te Aroha Standing Committee, where did you get that information?
I got it from a member of the Te Aroha.
Thank you. Yeah, that's fine. Councillor Sturt.
Thank you, Pat, for your submission. In your view, do tangata whenua have no status?
They do.
The people of the land.
I mean. The people of the land certainly do, but in this, what's going on here is just one small section. And I think that I believe in a democratic election, they have status, that's not what I said. They have status in an advisory committee, an advisory field, and that their suggestions would be very welcome and hopefully acted upon. But that's to advise before decision making, not to actually vote on decisions.
Thank you.
Thank you. And now we have Roger Brewster. 1038, page 115. Good afternoon, Roger. Roger, can you might be better at, well, turn that microphone on, Roger, yeah, and you have to sit up close or else we don't hear you clearly. Right. That'd be better.
Yep. Did you say turn that one off? How do I do that?
No, it was off. You're right. Yeah. But move it to, yeah, that's it, and then we can all hear you. Everybody at the back loves to hear you too.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
That's right.
Although I have written a submission which I understand you all have before you. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay, well, I won't read that submission because you have it before you. And what I want to do is take my time to emphasise what I think is the central and the real issue in this debate. And that is governance of the district. And that was recognised in the first question. In your feedback form. The question was, do you support in principle the intentions to effectively partner with Te Aroha? And as I understood that to mean partner in governance, because it related to a governance model. So I said no to that. But I do believe in working closely with Te Aroha in many ways, for the development and betterment of this district. But I don't believe in partnership with Te Aroha in the governance or the final decision making at council level, because that to me is introducing a third party into decision making and is undemocratic. If you want to introduce a third party into decision making, then it's been established that the democratic way is to do it through electoral wards. You create Māori wards, as they did for the Bay of Plenty Regional Council. They had a situation there where the tangata whenua weren't represented around the table. There were no Maori councillors at all, or councillors with Maori descent. And so they held a commission headed by Judge Trapsky, and he said that the democratic way of giving a Maori a voice was by creating Maori wards. And in that case, on his recommendation, the Bay of Plenty established 3 Maori wards out of, I think there were 12, so that the 30% population, Maori population, which had not been represented at council table, was given a franchise through the ward system. And that is what should happen with Te Arawa. They should be given, there should, in my view, be a ward system whereby there would be a proportionate number of wards or seats given to Te Arawa, or perhaps to Ngāti Whakaawe, or some of the mana whenua, because after all, Te Arawa is a very wide tribe that transcends beyond our district. So I would see Māori seats under an award system being allocated for the mana whenua, the people of the land in the district, and also seats being awarded to Māori who live in this district and are not mana whenua. That is the democratic model. And that principle was also advanced and recognised by the commission, which was established by government to advise it on the structure for the establishment of Auckland City. And it recommended Māori wards as being the democratic way of having the voice of the tangata whenua expressed around the table. And those Māori wards were also to include seats for Māori, the urban Māori, who were not tangata whenua. So, madam, in my view, the democratic way is wards. And I therefore put in my box opposite that question of whether I supported the principle of partnership with Te Arawa. I said no. But I do believe that there is a real need to work with Te Arawa. Te Arawa did give land to this town. In fact, it was Te Arawa, as I understand from Don Stafford's book, who went to Wellington and asked the government to establish a township in Rotorua. And as a result, Judge Fenton came to town to do his inquiries and to arrive at a proper establishment for the town in consultation and conjunction with the Maori people. And it was very generous that the Maori people did give land for the Sanatorium Reserve and the Pukaroa Hill Recreation Reserve at that time, and did cooperate fully with the establishment of the town. And of course, we're grateful for that. But that doesn't mean that we should depart from democratic principles and give them a voice at the council final decision-making. By all means, incorporate them in the lead-up to making that decision, as Mr. and Mrs. Gill have asked you to do. That's your obligation under the Local Government Act, is to facilitate and foster Maori participation in the decision-making process, but not to give them a seat at the council table. I want to now refer to this question of partnership. It seems to me that we have got to this situation because under the interpretation of the Treaty of Waitangi, it's accepted that the Crown entered into a partnership with Māori. But that partnership between the Crown and the Māori does not exist at governance level between council, local authority, and Māori. There was a conference in 2011 which I think was called by the local government association, at which the governance manager of the local government association delivered a paper on how councils could cooperate with Māori, with iwi, and in discharging their obligations under the Local Government Act. And he pointed out in the paper that the partnership was between the government as the treaty party and Māori, and was not between local government. The obligations of local government, as set out in the Act, are to carry out the facilitation and fostering of Māori participation in the process, and of course to recognise and give consideration to their cultural values and making decisions regarding land and water. But there is nowhere in the Local Government Act which says that councils should enter into partnership. In fact, the word partnership doesn't appear in the Local Government Act. And that's the act that this council works under. So I urge you not to use the word partnership when dealing with the governance structure. By all means, in the participation structure, for community feedback and the economic development and social development of this town, please include consultation and assistance from Māori, but not at governance level. Not finally, perhaps, but I must today mention that I read in the paper that you've got a legal decision from Tompkins and Wake, that you have the legal power under the Local Government Act to do this, to adopt this thing. I don't deny that. You may have the legal power, but does that make it right? What wasn't mentioned in the newspaper report about that decision was that the Local Government Act, in its preamble, says that it's an act for democratic government by local authority, and it uses the word democratic. And I say to you that, in fact, while the Act may not prohibit you from, expressly prohibit you from establishing the partnership model, it would be undemocratic and contrary to the intention of that Act as set out in the preamble. How am I doing for time? Well, perhaps I should stop there, because I've said in my submissions that I think that the model is inappropriate, it's undemocratic, and it's unnecessary. And certainly it wasn't necessary to fix things. I would have liked you to have fixed what went wrong before with the standing committee, because it worked at once under a former mayor. It didn't work under the second mayor. I'm sure that you, Madam Mayor, could make that standing committee work, and that as chair of that committee, you would see that Te Arawa was fully involved. So I don't think there has been a genuine attempt by council to fix the failures that the Environment Court mentioned in its decision. So that's an option if you don't go down the track of Māori wards. Thank you.
Are there any questions? So succinct. There are no questions. Thank you.
I could have gone on for another minute.
You could have. Do you want to?
No. Thanks.
Thank you. Jackie Evans. So, Councillors, one submission 1067 on page 120. And do come and take a seat. There are plenty of seats in here.
This is my supporter, Mr. George Ruha. Is that acceptable?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. And make sure, Jackie, that the microphone's close, because right, it's also for the back. They love to hear it.
Thank you. Ngā mihi nui ki a koutou katoa. Ko Jackie Evans tōku ingoa. Ko Ingarangi Ahau, Ingari Kanoho, Auki, Rotorua nei, mō Rua Tukau, mō ngā tau, he kai a ko ahau. Greetings to you all. My name is Jackie Evans. I was born in England, but I've lived in Rotorua for over 30 years, and I'm a teacher. I support option two of the Te Arawa Partnership proposal for the following reasons. A, other councils, including the Auckland City Council, have introduced formal mechanisms to comply with legal obligations, including the appointment of Māori representatives to sit on council committees. For example, the Auckland City Council's Māori Statutory Board, which has not been mentioned by former speakers in my... I may be wrong in this. B, to those opposing voting rights on two committees, it should be acknowledged that committee decisions can be overturned by elected members at full council meetings. Therefore, to claim that Te Arawa is to be given a free ride to council is, in my view, fallacious and provocative. C, Te Arawa's unique contribution to the city of Rotorua must be acknowledged. The dismissal of Te Arawa as a mere interest group is, in my view, demeaning and insulting. The historic Fenton Agreement of 1882 reveals that about 1,000 acres of land were provided by Te Arawa for the purposes of education, recreation and public amenities, including hospitals and railways. Educational trusts established by Te Arawa continue to support Māori and Pākehā students today. The Te Arawa footprint is evident throughout Rotorua, in historic place names and in street names. Interest group. The late respected historian Don Stafford would turn in his grave. D, democracy. Much rhetoric has been vented by opponents of this proposed model of the definition of the word democracy. History reveals that New Zealand's colonial model of democracy failed to serve minorities well, which is the reason that New Zealand has introduced MMP into our electoral system. It is important, therefore, for council to look at innovative improvements to right these imbalances. To quote Reverend Brian Eagles of Rotorua, our current model of democracy has historically disadvantaged Māori. Māori models allow for full participation of members of their community, working on the basis of consensus. The current council is but extending the relationship it has with Te Arawa as tangata whenua treaty partners and is to be commended for doing so. E, trust. Where does trust in Te Arawa enter this equation? 10 years ago, the Crown returned the care of Rotorua's lake beds to Te Arawa. At that time, a former councillor, who will remain nameless, drove around Rotorua in his truck, which was emblazoned with dire warnings, one of which was that public access to lakes would be denied to Rotorua's citizens. Did this occur? In actual fact, the reverse has occurred. Now the Crown, the Rotorua Lakes Strategy Group, comprising the Te Arawa Lakes Trust, Rotorua Lakes Council and the Bay of Plenty Regional Council, work closely together with the objective of maintaining and improving the water quality of Rotorua's lakes. Thus, this gentleman's dire warnings have fizzled like a damp squib. To move forward requires, in my view, mutual respect, trust, and the desire to work together towards a united future for Rotorua. I will conclude with a whakatauki, or proverb, illustrating unity. It describes the creation of a tukutuku panel and the construction of a meeting house in which working closely together is vital for the quality of the end result. Mā whero, mā pango, ka oti te whai. By red and black, the meeting house will be completed. Tātou, tātou. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. Tēnā rā koutou katoa.
Thank you, Jackie. And do we have questions? Councillor Gould.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Jackie, for your submission today. In it, On page 120 for the councillors, is there any other option arrangement that you would consider, prefer and why? You said not supplied. Do you think there's another option besides the Tiarawa proposal, or do you think, you know, which is probably better for the Tiarawa people?
No, I, as I explained in my submission, I prefer option two, but option three would, if option two were not to be adopted, I would then prefer option three. Yes.
Thank you, Your Worship. Jackie, you mentioned Auckland City Council and the Māori Board established there. Are you aware that it, to enable that to actually happen, required a special act of Parliament to actually make it legal?
No, I did not know that. However, I have learned today that Council's proposal, charter partnership proposal, is legal. And so we have to proceed from this point.
Thank you very much, Jackie, for your submission. Two questions. You mentioned a certain gentleman in a truck, and at that time there was a view in the community that fear and anxiety pervaded, and you, as you said in your submission, none of those things came to pass. One question I've really got for you, do you think tangata whenua have special status?
Just press the talk button. Yeah, thank it's all right. You. We're just getting the mic on.
You mean
on.
Tangata whenua of this region, do you mean? I feel that they have, that there should be partnership between the European and Māori and the Māori tangata whenua of this region. Yes, I do. Definitely.
Thank you for coming, Jackie, and your supporter too. Thank you. And now we ask Anuru Rangihuia. And this is submission number 1076, page 121. And accompanying Anuru, we have our interpreter, translator. And as we did this morning, a full 10 minutes, Anuru, allocated to you, and we take the timing with the interpretation. It worked this morning. We know how the timing works. And Patrick, if I introduce you, because many here this afternoon weren't here this morning, thank you for your services with interpretation.
Kia ora tata.
Greetings.
Hira tua tahi mihi au. Kia te arawa. Ki roto I tēnei whare. I tēnei wā e whakaronga anda ki te kaupapa. I whiriwhiri ngā tātou I tēnei wā.
Firstly, I would like to acknowledge the people of Te Arawa here today following this important matter.
Tēnei kaupapa, me kataia. Ka noho tahi tātou I te taho te kaunihera, ki te whakahaere ngā take pāna ki te rohe, e noho ana I a Te Arawa.
The objective, if it can be achieved, is for Te Arawa and the council to work together.
Nā reira, tēnā rā koutou o Te Arawa, tai atu ki tō tātou rangatira mōri ora. Ko ia te kanohi Māori roto I te kaunihera I whiriwhiri, I raro I te kaupapa o te treat.
And also to acknowledge Māori ora Kingi in his role in regards to the treaty and the partnership in local government.
Thank you, Your Worship, the Mayor, the Deputy Mayor, councillors, those who are present today. Thank you for the opportunity allowing me to support a proposal by Te Arawa. I support the option chosen by the majority of Te Arawa. I sat here a few minutes and I heard a couple speak, and I'm mindful of the fact that her family lived where my people lived and where I'm living now at Tarawera. A family that we hosted and we looked after, we nurtured and gave our love, and in a true fashion of partnership established the Spencer Church at Tarawera. Several churches were built, of course. And recently a mausoleum built out there by my people, by Tūhorongi, to house the remains of the family. It's ironic, I picked up my mail this morning and I found a letter addressed to me by a friend of mine, Martin Spencer, who expressed to me that he would not be able to travel back and forth to Tarawera any longer because of his age. And he will never forget how we looked after him and looked after the family at Tarawera. That's the sort of nature that partnership and love for one another does to us. Recently we had the Anzac ceremony. And if anybody can tell me that is not a true partnership, where Maori went to war to stand alongside their comrades, English comrades, that left these shores. Many of them not returning. That was a partnership forged by the interest of my people to help protect this country. And now we are here to try and protect this city and community. That's the true partnership that I find that we should be nurturing and looking after ourselves. Your Worship, I wrote a few notes here, and I'll just go through a couple because I think you're wanting me to shortcut because of time. But my interest has been in this council for a long time. For a long, long time. My name is not a strange name in this country. In this council, I sat on the second standing committee back in those times, Charles, you remember, and Trevor. And I was quite happy that we were trying to work to develop a relationship where Te Arawa can express itself and determine its future for the people of this community as a whole. Unfortunately, recently, in past years, Te Arawa elders repeatedly called for a council to establish the board with the aim of working bilaterally on matters of cultural significance to the tribe, thereby ensuring that the voice of Te Arawa was heard and actioned. Te Arawa believed that the Te Arawa Standing Committee and the meaning of working together is not happening in its fullest capacity, and the committee's current direct approach on matters to council has more than often fallen on deaf ears. And I think you've heard that several times from a lot of the standing committee members, that it's not working because it has no teeth. I have no teeth, but I'm still working. Te Arawa Standing Committee was established to provide input to Council's decision-making and improve communication and consultation, notwithstanding that some iwi have developed protocol committees. I think you're aware of that. Several of our Ngātpiki, Tūhorongi, Ngātirongi, Wewehi, and others on Te Arawa have protocol committees that we try to work and inject some energy into council to assist us in what we desire for our people. Te Arawa acknowledged the needs of the community at large, but desired to develop a model that is consistent with Te Arawa tikanga aspirations, social and physical needs. And I'm not going to repeat the emphasis on the Treaty of Waitangi. It's all here. Those who attended the presentations around the district were provided with all information about the Treaty of Waitangi, the Local Government Act, and all those acts that relate to this council working with Te Arawa. The council could